Welcome to this episode of the Joe Homebuyer Success Profiles podcast. Today, we're privileged to talk with Timothy Newcomb, who is a brand new franchisee or fairly new franchisee in the Joe Homebuyer franchise system. So we're absolutely honored to have him on the podcast today. So Tim, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks. Glad to be here.
Why don't you tell us about your background? What did you do before you got into the Joe Homebuyer franchise? And what was it that made you decide that this ultimately was the franchise that you wanted to start?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I didn't do anything with real estate. I'll start by saying that. My background after college, I went into the military as a commissioned officer for a little under 6 years. I got out in 2014, didn't really know what I wanted to do in the private sector. So I went and got my MBA at Duke. And then subsequently, for about the next 5 years after that, worked in a number of corporate jobs, mostly in operations management for companies like Tesla, also a private equity company. And then my last role was with National Grid, which is a big utility in the Northeast. So heavy background in, you know, kind of leadership and operations management. But in the back of my mind, I really always knew that I wanted to be a small business owner. And it was really just more a matter of like, what's the timing? What's the opportunity? So really over the course of the last couple of years, I had spent a lot of time figuring out or trying to figure out what I wanted to do. I came very close to buying a couple privately owned businesses. But every time I got close, I was like, I don't know if I want to be married to this and borrow a huge amount of money and then have to do this for the next 10 years if it's not a perfect fit. So I actually, one of my former military buddies reached out to me. He's a franchise consultant, and he knew that I had entrepreneurial aspirations. So he just asked me if I wanted to look at some opportunities. So I kind of gave him some pretty broad, swimming lane that I was looking at. I said I kind of want to do home services, maybe something that's recession-proof, but I'm completely agnostic to what the exact company is. So he gave me a whole slew of different opportunities to look at, from plumbing and HVAC type of companies to tree service companies. And the one oddball that got thrown in there was Joe Homebuyer. I was like, oh, okay. I didn't specifically mention real estate, but real estate's fascinating to me. So, as I said, I looked at probably, 3-4 dozen different opportunities and kind of did due diligence, some serious due diligence on a handful. But one of the ones that had really quickly struck my fancy was Joe Homebuyer. It seemed like a very interesting business model, something that could be scaled quickly, something that would allow me to start paying myself within a reasonably short period of time. And then the capital required up front was more reasonable. I was really motivated to do something where I could do it from savings. I didn't have to go out and borrow a huge amount of money on day one. So that's kind of how I started really looking seriously at Joe Homebuyer as an opportunity. But really, like once I started going through the due diligence calls with Mark and Cody and Janet, it just felt like a great, great fit culturally. I really love the business model. But for me, what it really came down to was having a high level of trust in Mark and the franchisor, and believing that like if I invested myself, they would have my back 100%. And that's kind of why I made the decision to move forward with Joe Homebuyer.
So how long did that discovery process take for you? And then when did you actually join the franchise?
Yeah, so I started looking at stuff before I ever talked to anyone, probably in late summer. So maybe June, July. And then I had a series of calls with Mark and others. Can't remember all the people I talked to, but a number of different folks learning different aspects of the business. And then it was really like, I think at the beginning of August, my wife and I were really just kind of looking at two opportunities really seriously, going back and forth. And then we ultimately decided to move forward with Joe Homebuyer towards the end of August. So I believe that I started my LLC August 16th, and I think I signed the contract for Joe Homebuyer around that same time.
Okay. And then you came to training, what, in September? You had the initial 20 hours of virtual training you went through. Then when did you come out here to workshop training?
Exactly. There was no training in August, so I came out at the end of September. So in some ways, I kind of want to toot the way that I did it as the good path, is because I had about 6 weeks to really, really prepare for the training. So I went through every bit of training that I could on the portal. It also gave me time to set up my business and do a lot of the legwork, so that by the time that I got to training in September, I had a pretty decent understanding of the business model, and I had a lot of the stuff in place so that after training, I was ready to hit the ground running.
So how long after you started your marketing, after you finished the training, did you get your first deal?
Yeah, so I was just looking at my calendar. So I came back from the training at the end of September. It took me about another 2 weeks to really get all my lists together for where I was going to start marketing, to get the digital component up. So I would say that I really probably started marketing towards the middle of the second week of October. And I had my first contract by the end of October. So from when I sent my first flyers out, it was about 3 weeks before I got my first contract.
Well, that's awesome. And now we're recording this in the middle of December, and you now have one of your acquisition managers out here for training, which is a really great aspect of the franchise. As you scale and grow, as you hire people, you can send them out for training too, which is awesome as well. So today's the last day of the training he's attending, but what interactions have you had with him, and what has he experienced from the training that he's told you about?
Yeah, he's had a great and a positive experience. I actually, I'll kind of like preface, I actually hired two. So they tell you up front, like, these are the things you need to do. So I went and I interviewed for quite a while, really, probably the better part of 2 months. I interviewed dozens of people, and I narrowed it down to two that were both really great candidates. One of them was a little bit younger, didn't have a lot of transactional sales experience, but had the right predictive index profile and just like full of drive. And then someone who's a little bit older who'd been doing roofing sales for about 20 years. So I actually spent a long time interviewing them. I took them on appointments. You did role playing with the script, really just to vet them and make sure that they're both culturally a good fit. And also, you know, we're going to be attracted to the business model and the rigors and the challenges that come with it. And both of them really, really wanted the role. And I ultimately decided to hire the more senior fellow as an AM because I thought that within a very short period of time and very little training, he'd be highly successful as acquisition manager. But the younger guy, I really wanted to hire too. So I hired him as a lead manager / like associate acquisition manager. So he's not going to be running appointments from day one, more managing leads. And he's the one that's out training right now. My acquisition manager will be out in January. Okay. But it's one of those, you know, it's one of those things that like, you know, I was going to hire one person, but if you find two people that are both going to be great fits on the team, they're going to help accelerate the business. I just kind of had to hire them both. So I did, I made it work, and, well, it should be good once everyone's up to speed.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, talk about the training for yourself. What was that experience like? You talked about the virtual portal and the training you get online, and then coming out here for the workshop training yourself. What was that experience like, and how did that prepare you to start your business?
I mean, the training was top notch. Like Mark, they run like just really, really good training. By the time I was done, like I felt super confident going out on appointments and having the script and just feeling really, really confident. Like, you know, as someone with no real estate background, you know, you want to act as if you're a real estate expert. And through the training, I felt very comfortable in what we do. I'm still not an expert in real estate, but the training really prepared me to be confident on appointments. So I wasn't just bumbling through and didn't know what I was talking about. So really top notch. I mean, I think the best, they talk as a franchisee when you're going through, there's a lot of it about systems and processes. I had a lot of knowledge of that, how to build a business. I've done that in previous roles. So I was really attracted to the acquisition manager component of the training and really just getting into like the right mindset and using the scripts and using the Chris Voss techniques for negotiating. And I got a ton out of that. And when I left, I was just super confident and ready to go.
What do you think is a mistake that you made when you first started off that other people to learn from so they don't have to repeat it?
Yeah, it was a mistake that I knew that I actually kind of thought I was going to make up front, but I had to do it anyways. Two things. One, I didn't want to quit my corporate job right away. I have 4 kids that I'm supporting and my wife. And I'm like, I can't just go cold turkey and just completely start providing for myself. So I took on I basically was doing 2 jobs, working 80 hours a week, and I did not hire people right away. And that was not because I didn't want to. I maybe wasn't as aggressive as I should have been in scaling my business. I'm like, I could do this myself. I need to prove to myself that I can make money doing this before I bring other people in. And I really wish that I had started the hiring process from the day that I left training. I'm great at the acquisition stuff and I love it. I've got 4 contracts on my own so far in the first couple of months, and I really enjoy talking to sellers. But the reality is when you're trying to do every single aspect of your business yourself with very little support, you can't be successful at any one thing. Like I'm pivoting from managing leads to trying to dispose of properties I have under contract. So, you know, the lesson that I learned is that if you really want to scale this business, and if you don't want to just kind of do this as a side hustle where it's just you and maybe you're doing a deal or so a month, I would recommend on building the team out before you think that you're ready, because you'll get to a point very quickly if you invest in marketing where you have a lot of leads. And there's a lot of stuff that needs to be done in the business. And if you're doing it by yourself and don't have a partner or haven't hired the right people, you're going to really struggle to have sanity in your life. Like I was working 80, 90 hours a week trying to make everything work. And I could have solved that by just really quickly bringing on help.
I like that. What is your primary focus now? Is it primarily wholesaling deals then? Or have you done any fix and flips or any rental properties you've acquired yet? Or are you primarily just doing wholesaling at this point?
Yeah. So actually the first The first contract that I got has not closed yet, but it looks like it's going to be a wholesale deal. I was able to structure pretty creative financing. So I have a serious buyer that looks like they're going to be ready to sign next week. If that's the case, that will be my first true wholesale. If not, I've already gotten the financing in place to buy that. That's a mixed use property. So that was my first contract. The actual first one I closed on was another wholesale, like a single family fix and flip. And, you know, I got a couple offers on it, but I, you know, was going to make, I don't know, $6,000-$7,000 on it. And it was at a low enough cost that I decided to do my own flip on it, which is a little bit aggressive for being early on in the business. But I did the numbers. I looked at it. I had some contractors look at it. I purchased the property for $60,000 and I'm going to put about $60,000 into it. And the after repair value will be around $200,000. So, you know, I could have made $7,000 or $8,000 in a week, but I think I can make significantly more by doing it myself. So that's the first property I actually closed on. And the other two that I have under contract are both wholesale deals that should close within the next month or so.
That's exciting. Well, talk about the marketing process a little bit. You mentioned how you met with Janet and her team and kind of helped put together the marketing, started getting some leads coming in, and now you're starting to manage those and seeing deals come through. Talk about that experience of the process of kind of figuring that out and the data and the detail that Joe Homebuyer gives to you that kind of helps you figure out how to figure out your marketing spend right from the very beginning.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's one of those things that, like, the advice I'd give to people who are new franchisees is just follow the system that Joe put together. These guys have been doing this for a long time. You can market in a million ways. You can spend all kinds of money doing different things. But there are certain strategies that are tried and true. And until you really start scaling your business, I would 100% trust what Janet and Joe, the whole Joe Homebuyer system, is telling you to do for marketing, because it worked for me. So out the gate, I was real heavy on like flyers or postcards, kind of a crude way. Just, you know, you're hitting a lot of different people from lists, publicly available lists, kind of a numbers game. But it's going to be your best, in my view, your best initial lead source until your digital, your web marketing is kind of dialed in and your SEO is working properly. And that's, you know, the digital is a great lead source, but it's kind of expensive. But I did exactly what they told me to do. I said, I'm going to commit to at least $10,000 of marketing a month. I spent about $10,000 in my first month, and it was approximately 60% on flyers and then 40% on digital. And both of them have already turned into very good lead sources to me. For whatever reason, in my market, flyers are doing really, really well. The majority, all but one of my deals, I have four contracts now, came from a mailer. So I would just say trust, you know, the system. You're going to get a lot of guidance on where to start. The guys have been doing this for a couple of years now, have added all kinds of new channels for marketing, which I will absolutely be adding in the next, you know, 6 months or so. But, you know, I would just follow the Joe way, invest properly in marketing, and then you'll figure out what really works in your market, and then you can double down and spend more in those areas.
Sure. Well, from your perspective, just maybe tell a story or something of a time when you went with the seller. How has the Joe Homebuyer training been helpful for you? You mentioned briefly that you felt much more confident, especially since you haven't had a real estate background. Can you share maybe a story of a time when you were able to go into a home and how you're able to negotiate out the price or talk with them and help them realize that you really cared and were there to help them out of the situation that they were in, and how that ultimately helped you get the deal?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the thing that really differentiates Joe from a lot of the other folks out there do that, whether they're other franchises or individuals, is that, like, we really do come in with a service mindset. What are the people's problems and how can I solve them? Not what is the lowest I can get the contract for. That's obviously a consideration. If you're good at negotiating, you always are trying to get it at the lowest possible price so that you can make money on it. But it starts with, what are the people's problems and how can I help them solve them? And then using the negotiating tactics and techniques that you're taught through Joe. So one of, I guess the third contract I got was on a multifamily, a triplex. And it was a situation in which, to me, it seemed like, wow, this is a slam dunk. You know, they kind of told me what their number was, which was, you know, about 60% of the after repaired value. I'm like, this is going to be an easy one. But when I went in there, for them, it really wasn't about the money. They had a lot of personal stuff going on. They went into bankruptcy for some other issues, and they were trying to get out of that bankruptcy. And this was their only real asset where they had a lot of equity in. And just sitting there, I mean, I was in this meeting for probably 2 or 3 hours. Like, we didn't even talk price until the last 20 or 30 minutes. So it was really trying to understand their situation, where they needed help, and then structuring a contract that solved all of their problems. So, you know, I got them the price that they wanted on the contract. I negotiated to let them stay rent-free. It's a triplex. They were living on the bottom floor for 6 months. They could have the parking spaces they want, keep the garage as storage for that period of time. And to them, like, that was more important than the amount of money they were getting. It was really a matter of having enough money so that they could get out of bankruptcy and kind of set themselves up for success in the future while being able to stay in their property after it's sold. So get them their money and let them stay. And, you know, a traditional retail transaction, those things are very difficult to negotiate with a seller. But our model allows us to do that. And then if you've priced the contract correctly, then there's plenty of people who want to buy that contract, even if the people are staying there for 6 months, because there's so much upside potential in the property ultimately. So, you know, going in there and, it, you know, not making it about price, making it about solving their problems. I presented all the solutions to how we could help them solve their problems. And then price was the last bit of it. And it was a very easy negotiation because we'd already, in their mind, solved all the problems that they had identified. And we were close enough on price that we were able to put a deal together on the spot.
Yeah, such an important perspective. And I like what you said there a lot, that Joe Homebuyers focuses all about how do we serve the seller first and help them out of the situation they're in. And when you have that aspect or that perspective and that mindset, it really opens up a lot of doors what you can do. And like you said, a lot of wholesalers don't have that approach. And so it really makes a massive difference in why you're able to get those contracts for sure.
100%. Yep.
Well, very good. Well, since you didn't have a background in real estate, I'd be curious to hear about how you've been building up your buyers list. And maybe we could talk briefly about that. How many people do you currently have on your buyers list? How is that growing? How beneficial has it been to kind of follow the steps that Joe Homebuyers offered to you and taught to you, and just getting to know other realtors and investors in the marketplace?
Yeah. So that's one of the things I'd encourage anyone who's, the second you sign your franchise agreement and pay your fee, immediately hire a VA to start doing the buyers. There's training in the portal. That was one of the first things. Like, they give you the training portal and they're like, okay, work through this, and then we'll kind of explain how everything fits together when you come out to training. I looked through it and I said, okay, I understand all this. I can learn most of it. But if I don't have buyers when I start going into the market, how am I going to be able to move properties? Because I had confidence I was going to be able to get contracts, but I wanted to be confident that I could move them and say that I, you know, if I'm telling someone I can, I'm going to buy your house, or I'm going to, you know, sell your house for you, I want to make sure that I can execute on that. So I immediately hired a VA to start working on my buyers list. And I used all the systems that Joe had suggested. I built an SOP for her. She's in the Philippines, and made it very simple. And by the time I got out to training, my buyers list was at 500. And in the next couple months, I've gotten it up to about 2,000. So I'm in a smaller market. I'm in New Hampshire. I've talked to a lot of the other big wholesalers in the state, and like, a pretty good buyers list in the state is like probably 4,000 or so. So I got to half of that really within my first 90 days. And I just had my VA stay on it. That's still her primary focus. I have her doing some other stuff as well, but it's absolutely integral to your business to get a good buyer's list. And then the other part is you need to go and join the REIA groups and start networking with other real estate investors, because I've probably gotten 200 buyers just from, you know, interactions, whether it was a phone call or going to my REIA meetings. And those are your best buyers, because you've actually met them in person. They know who you are. They've told you what their investment criteria is. So you can really serve their needs and find properties that really meet their investment criteria. And it also gives you more intelligence when you have a property you're having a hard time moving. You're like, well, I remember this guy I talked to loves, you know, 6 units in this area. I'm going to just call him and see if he's the guy or he knows someone who is. So, you know, it's a process that, you know, you just got to continue to invest in. But I would say start right away building that buyer's list, because, you know, that's going to be the difference between moving a contract and canceling one, or making 30 grand on a contract, or making 5. Like, how many people are looking at your deals? And buyer's list is key.
Absolutely. Well, I love what you said there too. And it's congratulations on what you've been able to accomplish so far with that. But it's so important that you work on it every day, like you said, that you're always adding to that as well. From your point of view, from doing the business now for a little bit too, and kind of getting things going, what do you think is the major competitive advantage that a Joe Homebuyer franchisee has over the other wholesalers in the market? You were kind of alluding to that a little bit, but I'm just curious from your perspective, What it is that really sets Joe Homebuyer apart?
You'll find, so in my market, I'd say there's like 3 larger companies that are wholesaling, and they're established and they have fully built out teams. And actually, you know, some of the owners of Joe Homebuyer know some of the players in my market. So those guys are, you know, they have, what, they're a well-oiled machine, but the majority of people that are out there wholesaling are self-taught YouTube types who, you know, in my view, are kind of give us a bad name. They're hasslers. They use real hard sell type of techniques. You know, we, having networked now with a bunch of other people doing similar things, I feel like I have a better understanding of how to do a good job at wholesaling than people have been doing much longer than me. because we basically are tapping into the knowledge that Cody and Mark and Janet and all the others have, you know, spent years developing and systematizing, so that like I have a high level of confidence in my understanding of the business model of how to properly treat people. But at the end of the day, I think that really is our competitive advantage. Is it's the culture at Joe Homebuyer is really like a service oriented mindset and really deeply caring about people. And that's my personal value. So it's a great alignment. So whenever I'm like talking to someone, a seller, I am trying to serve them and operate in their best interest. I'm not trying to take advantage of them during a challenging time in their life. I'm trying to provide them a solution to a problem that they don't think they can solve. And that really is what distinguishes us, just building those like high trust relationships. When I, you know, some leads don't immediately turn into contracts, but when I call them up, I talk to them for 30 minutes a week and they just like, you know, they trust me. They're telling me about what's going on in their life. And I know that like, because I've invested so much in them, that when it's ready, when they're ready for a contract, like I'm going to be their guy. And it comes back to just the way that we operate, the way that we should operate, the Joe way, which is you're taking care of their needs. You're being genuinely yourself and you're trying to help them.
Yeah, absolutely. We were mentioned earlier that you have a couple of employees now and a virtual assistant, it sounds like, as well. Maybe you could talk briefly about your team and how that's allowed you to kind of free up your schedule, because you're working a lot. I mean, you're probably still doing that now because you're kind of still early into the business. But how is that division of labor being able to help you kind of scale your business a bit differently now that you're starting to add people to your team?
Yeah, so I've kind of taken the mindset, I knew I needed help. There's certain aspects of the business I really like acquisitions. But at the end of the day, like I want to aggressively scale my business. I want to build out a team quickly. I don't want to just be a one-man show where I'm just kind of doing this as a job. I really want to be a business owner and a manager of my business. So I knew I wanted to scale pretty quickly. And within 90 days, anytime I found someone, I was like, this is a great fit. I tried to figure out how to work them into my team. So I had a VA. I immediately hired a Drive for Dollars person to go out and build those marketing lists, which is integral. It's one of my best lists. So I did that right away. And then through networking, one of the buyers that came out and looked at one of my properties was a young guy who just got out of the military, reminded me of myself about 10 years ago. He really wants to get into real estate. He didn't end up buying the property he looked at, but we just kind of struck up a relationship and I hired him as my disposition manager, commission only, because, you know, he's a commercial pilot. He works seven on, seven off, has a ton of bandwidth, wants to learn, doesn't need to be making a salary. So I was like, this is a no-brainer. The guy's got the drive and, you know, really good understanding of real estate. So, you know, I just hired him like quickly, didn't ever post a job. So, and then I've subsequently hired an acquisition manager and a lead manager. So my view is that, you know, if I find someone who's got skill set that I can plug into my team, I can structure it in a way that I'm not going to bankrupt myself. And I think that these are people that I can really propel my business forward and people that I want to work with. Like, cultural alignment is the most important thing to me. I want to be super aligned and know that these people view the way that we treat our customers the same way that I do, the same way that Joe does. So I've been pretty aggressive. Now I have a disposition manager, lead manager, acquisition manager, Drive for Dollars, and a VA. So, you know, my view is I want to work myself into a management role where I know how to do all the things in the business, but can really just enable others to do them. And I'm in that phase of the business. It's going to probably take another couple months to get everyone up to speed, but I've identified the players and brought them on.
Absolutely. Well, I think it's exciting to kind of sort of see the future where how you can kind of bring some more normality or balance to your life a little bit too. I mean, obviously you're working on a lot of different cylinders right now, getting everything working, but I think that you can see the end result of what you're doing and how you're structuring your team too, which is exciting as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Where do you see your business in the next 6 months or a year or 5 years from now? I mean, what's kind of your vision of what you want to do? Is it primarily wholesale? Do you see yourself doing more fix and flips? Do you want to get into a rental portfolio? What's kind of your goal of what you just see your business becoming over time?
Yeah. So as I said, like I want to aggressively scale. So right now I'm in New Hampshire. My goal is to add a few of the Massachusetts, I think, has four territories. My expansion plan is to move into Massachusetts. I live in Southern New Hampshire. So basically right on the border of Massachusetts, and most of the larger successful wholesalers are covering both states. There's just more opportunity. So my goal is to build a team. Once they are up to speed, I'll continue to invest in marketing and then ultimately expand my market. And, you know, the way that I look at it, I need to build up enough capital that I can be more creative in the type of deals that I'm doing. But, you know, so far, like I've already bought a flip. That was my first property. So I look at every single opportunity that I have and the way to maximize the profit potential. And then, you know, I'm going to take the best course of action. I would say probably for this first year, it's going to be 80% wholesaling because I need to accumulate cash and make sure that I can pay my employees. and flips and buy and hold are going to be longer term investments where it takes more time to get money out of them. But my goal is to get to a point within the first couple of years where I'm doing whether like between 25 and 50% of my own flips, because that's really how you can make a tremendous amount of money in this. And we're getting access to like really discounted properties. And I see the opportunity. And when you wholesale, you can make a nice chunk of change really quickly. But, you know, once you see that, wow, I could make three times as much money if I invested X amount of money and held it for 6 months and listed it. So, you know, I'll grow my business, you know, as quickly as I can. And, I'll tailor how we do business to the opportunities that present themselves. So there will always be, you know, wholesaling is going to be the bread and butter, but I want to be doing more flips. And then I want to start accumulating multifamilies over the years.
Well, I want to talk about the support you get here at Joe Homebuyer as well, the mastermind groups in particular. Can you talk about the trainings that you do on a weekly basis and how beneficial those have been for you to ask your questions and get your questions answered and the support you get from Joe Homebuyer to help you do these deals and know what to do next?
Yeah, I'd say that, you know, there's just so much support available. That's one of the real benefits of joining a franchise, in my view, is that you get a lot of, you get the playbook, but then if, you know, Joe Homebuyer anyways, they actually support you like as much as support you need. So, I mean, from looking at, I've gotten some weird deals that were not simple to evaluate. And, you know, Cody or Janet have gone on the call and like, helped me understand how to do that. So they'll drop what they're doing and take a call or respond to a text, you know, day or night. The ongoing trainings is just like a support group where, you know, I'm in the Rookie Joe group. So all the new guys and gals, and, you know, we're all the same place in our business. Like it's a lot of ups and downs, a lot of learning, a lot of mistakes. So having that group to be able to talk through that stuff is just so helpful. Cause as a business owner, part of it's very lonely, right? You have days where you're like on cloud nine, you get a contract, maybe you had some great conversations with some sellers, you know, you're going to get contracts. And then you'll have a dry spell where like all the people that are calling you are just angry that they got a flyer. So just having that support group to go there and be like, oh, everyone else is dealing with this is completely normal. There's going to be awesome weeks and there's going to be challenging weeks. Everyone's getting this. There's always funny stories. Like we're never working with people that are like, usually people are in very challenging situations. So most of the time there's a lot of funny stories around what people need or the creative solutions we've come up with to help people. So that's really great. And then it's always nice to be in the larger franchise calls because then they're usually instructing the larger group of, you know, ways to improve our business and giving us best practices and techniques and just being able to interact with folks that have been doing this for a long time and have been really, really successful. It's just, it's great. It makes you feel like you're part of a broader team where everyone's kind of dedicated to each other's success. And I haven't met a single Joe yet that will not help you if you ask for help, whether that is, you know, the actual franchisor and their employees or just the other franchisees. So I think we all view it as like part of a team. We all really love what we do and we're willing to help each other. And, you know, it's super support. It's so much support. And it really makes this process so much more enjoyable.
Right. And as you continue to progress, as you move from the Rookie to Rockstar group to the Ascending Joes group and to the Top Performers group, you meet a whole different group of franchisees and you're dealing with more complex and different kinds of issues in your business as well, which is really valuable so that you get the support you need at the level that you're at as you grow the business and have that support and help too.
The other thing I'll interject, the other thing is they always have like these, I call them like mastermind groups, but they'll have a topic, whether it's creative finance or finding deals on the MLS, they'll do like multi series on, and I can't usually make all the calls because of just my work schedule, but they record them all. And like, that's like next level knowledge. You always have to be upskilling so you can get better and better and figure out how to make more creative contracts and get more deals. And, you know, they're providing so much content to like really continuously up your game. So, you know, you can take advantage of it whenever. So I try to plug it in. If I get up early in the morning, listen to an hour on a topic that I think is interesting. And so you're always growing.
Absolutely. Well, I was going to ask you about that because we have the creative financing course that we just recently completed. Now they're getting ready to start a new leadership training course. What has been your experience with those? I know some of those you've accessed the recording, some of those you've done live, but just on the ongoing support and training that you had there, any other things you want to add about what you've been learning from that and how helpful that has been as you've gotten your business going?
Yeah, I mean, creative financing is something I had no understanding of. I actually watched a few of the videos before I came out to training and then watched the other ones, but I literally propose it in every deal that I make. And two of the contracts I have were creative financing. The first one was a mixed-use property. I originally negotiated so the guy would do 80% seller financing, which is like pretty ridiculous. And then as I talked to buyers, they were like, well, no, actually what we'd really like is we'd like the owner to do a second mortgage so that we can come with our own and have to put almost nothing down. So I went back and renegotiated that. And that's ultimately that my buyer, that's how we worked it out. So having those type of skills and like, I will always propose creative financing. I have a general understanding of how it works. And if someone's like, yeah, I would do that, then I go back and talk to my real estate lawyer and be like, okay, how do I actually make this work? But you get, you know, we have all this knowledge and they tell you that, you know, they give you the ability to learn this. And then it's just another tool in your toolbox that allows you to do stuff that a lot of other wholesalers are not thinking about. And it allows you to really open up your buyer pool, really. It helps sellers because some sellers really do want to have like an annuity type of payment over time. But a lot of buyers are looking for creative financing. And if you can understand how to get those kind of deals, like you're going to be able to move most of your contracts.
Well, one question I wanted to ask you about it, because I think a lot of people are looking at this business now are wondering what's going on with the interest rates rising and inflation and things like that. Could you just talk about that a little bit about, you may have had those same concerns or worries when you're looking at the business as, will people still be buying homes? And from your perspective, if we do go into recession, or some people will say we're already in one, or if the economy changes or shifts a little bit, what ways do you think Joe Homebuyer is preparing you to be able to grow your business to succeed no matter what's going on in the economy?
Yeah, so I'm not an economist, but I will tell you my experience. And what I can say is that for one, you know, the United States is not one real estate market. Every real estate market is different. So you need to understand what's going on in your market at any given time so that you can figure out how to get deals that are still going to move. My market in New England, we have extremely tight housing inventory. So our vacancy rate in New Hampshire is less than 1%, about 0.5%. A balanced real estate market is about 5% vacancy. So we don't have a lot of new construction. So we, even though like interest rates have gone up and there are certainly less retail buyers out there, in the median part of the market, everything's still moving because people need a place to live. And, you know, even with interest rates at 6-7%, it's still better than the alternative, which is renting a 3-bedroom apartment for $2,200 a month. So you have to understand your market and make sure that you're focusing your efforts on getting properties that are going to still be attractive to your buyers. And buyers are going to have completely different criteria. So, you know, flippers might get a little bit concerned when they think that if they take on a really risky or like expensive project where they may have to hold it for a long period of time or they have hard money. So I target properties that are in the median of the market because I know that if I get them under contract at the right price, they're still going to be a buyer because they're going to, if they, you know what they're doing, they're still going to be able to make a good return on that. So you got to understand your market. The other thing is that regardless of what the real estate market is doing, there's a ton of opportunity. You got to recalibrate sellers' expectations because we were in this really hot market where you could list a house that was falling down and get it sold like in a weekend. That's right. Changing. Yep. And you got to be able to explain that to them. When I'm talking to sellers, like I always raise the fact that interest rates are up. There are less buyers. If I buy your property, I may end up holding it for much longer than I expected. And then you got to recalibrate their expectations about what they're going to get for it. And some people, like the reality is that some people are going to just be like, I looked at Zillow and my house says it's $500,000 and you want to give me $300,000 for it. And then, you know, you don't get the contract on the day, but they're going to learn, like you stay in touch with those leads and like, they're going to learn, okay, actually my house is falling down. I'm never going to get what I thought I was going to get on the MLS. And then they're going to come around eventually and you may or may not get that contract. So it's one of those things that when the market turns, you're going to get a lot more leads. You're going to have a lot more people in need of your service. But you need to understand your market so that you're putting together contracts that you can actually move and not overpaying for something.
Well, I guess my question is if someone's worried about that or concerned about how successful can I be in this business now, it sounds like you're saying it doesn't really matter what's going on. You're going to get the support you need. You can still grow the business and be successful at it. Has your perspective on that changed from when you were investing in the business versus now when you're actually in the business as far as the opportunities you see and what's going to happen going forward?
I was kind of already viewing that we were going to go into kind of a recession. So I, you know, my view is like, it's probably going to be a bit more of a challenging market than it was, you know, 12 months ago. Now that I'm out there, it seems like there's a tremendous amount of opportunity. There's still a lot of people buying, at least in my market. So like, I'm extremely optimistic. It may get turbulent for a period of time, but you know, you just got to tailor your business to where the opportunity is, maybe reduce marketing. You know, if we're in an environment where people are calling us just by Googling us because they need to sell their houses, maybe you kind of dial back your marketing. But I would say like you need to understand your market and figure out how it's changing and then figure out how you can get contracts that are still going to move. And one of the best ways is creative financing right now. You know, if someone has a mortgage at 3% and they're open to something like subject to where an investor can assume that mortgage while they do the rehab, you know, it de-risks from the buyer's perspective and it can make a lot of sense to the seller. So you got to understand, you have to have all the tools in your toolbox. You need to be constantly learning and then figuring out how to structure or restructure deals so that they're attractive to someone.
Right. And like you said, too, just being able to know how to talk with sellers. And like you said, there are more people, and when the economy shifts and changes, there's more people that need your services, too. And having that service mindset and really focusing on helping them is makes all the difference, too, and getting those deals as well. So great points.
Exactly.
So what do you see is the difference between people who really take off and do quite well in this and people maybe who just kind of slow down and don't get the start that they should or could in the business?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, it's very, there's information overload out there. So if you like look at Joe's training, but then are also watching 10 hours of YouTube videos and all these different marketing techniques, you can get really overwhelmed, like analysis paralysis. You're like trying to think through every single possible scenario and then you don't take action. My suggestion to someone who's coming into the system is that you are going to get you're going to get the playbook to be successful at this. Don't overthink it. Take what you're being given. You're going to have weekly meetings. Right now, my business coach is Janet. She's going to help you think through where you're at in your business and where you should be spending your attention. And you paid a lot of money for that, so you should use it. Like, they're giving you a playbook. They're giving you the system to succeed. They're giving you tons of support. Follow their guidance and execute it to the best of your ability, and that's how you're going to be successful. If you're going to go freelance it, maybe you're going to be successful, but why did you buy into a system in the first place if you're going to try to learn how to do it yourself? And then the other thing is, you know, I think franchisees that come into the system who have the right predictive index to be acquisitions managers may get a little bit more initial success because they can do that before they hire the right people. But anyone can be successful. If you know you don't have that skill set, hire it quickly so that you can scale your business. And they're going to help you and they're going to coach you. So again, it comes back to you paid to be part of a great system. You paid to be part of Joe Homebuyer. Like, leverage it to the max and you'll be successful.
Absolutely. Great points and great advice. What do you like most about being a Joe Homebuyer franchisee?
Yeah, it's really the people that I got to work with, like Mark and Cody and Janet and all the other franchisees. I've already made a bunch of friendships. And, you know, the reality is that, like, I just like the people that I work with. I like the business model. I find it to be very intellectually stimulating. But at the same time, it's really, it comes down to the cultural alignment. I feel like I'm super aligned with what Joe is doing, so that every day I wake up, I'm very proud of the work that I do. And I like the people I work with.
Well, if you had to make this decision over again, would you choose to get back into the Joe Homebuyer franchise again?
Yeah, 100%. I've been very happy. I mean, you know, I'm only 4 months into it, so hopefully we have this conversation again in a year. I can tell you about how successful I've been. But so far, sure, my experience has been all very positive. I'm seeing the momentum by following what I'm being told. I'm seeing the success come. It takes time. I mean, I tell a new franchise, you have to understand, you have to build momentum. You need to start marketing. You need to start building leads, cultivating those leads. And then all of a sudden, 3-4 months into the business, you're like, oh, now I'm getting contracts. Oh, now it's all starting to come together. So you got to get over that initial hump. But, you know, I have no regrets. I would sign again today, knowing everything I know now.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate your time today, Tim, and sharing your perspective. Any final advice or comments or that you would share to someone who's listening to this, who's thinking about joining the Joe Homebuyer system?
I think I've covered most of the stuff. I mean, in my view, it comes down to, like, you know, you have to love what the opportunity is and be committed to it. You're going to invest a lot of your time and energy into this business. It's going to ultimately be rewarding. But, you know, if you, like me, I hadn't started my own business, there's going to be good days and bad days. There's going to be a lot to overcome. You just have to have a positive mindset. Know that you're supported. Take advantage of the support system that you have. And then, you know, follow the playbook and you will succeed.
Well, thanks again for taking the time to talk with us today. We really appreciate it.
Awesome. I appreciate your time as well. Thank you.
Disclaimer. As with any business, your results may vary and will be based on your individual capacity, business experience, expertise, and level of desire. There are no guarantees concerning the level of success you may experience in this or any franchise. Each individual's success depends on his or her own background, dedication, desire, and motivation. The information presented in this podcast episode that you just listened to is intended to be for your educational and informational purposes only. We are not presenting you with a business opportunity. We are not making any claims as to income that you may earn. Before embarking on any endeavor, please use caution and seek the advice of your own personal professional advisors, including your attorney and accountant. Where income figures are mentioned, if any, those income figures are anecdotal information passed on to us concerning the results achieved by the individual sharing the information. We have performed no independent verification of the statements made by those individuals. Please do not assume that you will make those same income figures. Success in any endeavor is based upon many factors individual to you. We do not know your educational background, your skills, your prior experience, or the time you can and will devote to the endeavor. Please perform your own due diligence before embarking on any course of action. Remember, there are risks in any endeavor that are not suitable for everyone. Please understand that past performance cannot be an indication of possible future results. ending all forward-looking statements that are presented by franchisees in these podcast episodes are intended to express their opinion of earnings potential. Again, please perform your own due diligence before embarking on any course of action. Follow the advice of your personal qualified advisors. Thank you again for taking the time to listen to this podcast episode, and we hope you've enjoyed this conversation.